Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the new Kite Podcast 2020 with me, Will Evans.
And me, Ben Eagle. If you listened to last week's episode, you'll know that we're aiming to bring you commentary on the very latest news and updates within the dairy sector. And to do this, we're joined by members of the Kite team and special guests from within the industry.
We're going to focus on the market itself again this week and are joined again by John Allen, who is founder and managing partner of Kite Consulting, everybody's favourite dairy market analyst, Chris Walkland, and Paul Mason, who is a partner with Kite, working with a wide range of dairy farms and farmer groups across the Midlands and southwest of England. Welcome, everyone, to the podcast once again. Chris, I'm going to turn to you first and ask you to give listeners an update on the market situation this week. We've just got through another week of lockdown, as we all know, with another couple of weeks coming until the next review. What changes have taken place in the markets in the last week? And are you going to be as optimistic as you were last week?
Well, I'm still on the same general upward plane in optimism, I think. On Tuesday, we had a bit of a headline setback with the global dairy trade dropping 4.2%, which is quite a lot outside the neutral zone. I call the neutral zone plus or minus 3%. So 4.2% down is, from a headline point of view, really not good. But if you analyse the figures, Arla's skim milk powder price actually went up. Okay, not by much, by only $10, but it's not as bad as the percentage drop would suggest. Then on Wednesday, the official European figures came out from the Netherlands, France and Germany, and there was some static prices and some positive prices. So if we take that mixed bag of neutrality and positivity, yeah, the trend is better than it was, and I think we'll take those. Finally, I would say for the UK market, the spot price has increased again. It's now over 20 pence. And there's been some years at this time of year when we've had prices considerably less than that, and nobody could spell pandemic, let alone coronavirus. So another positive there. However, as far as the spot market is concerned, it's only ever as good as the factories that are running. If there's a breakdown, that price will go from 20 to 10 or 5, depending on the severity and the length. All of that said, if you take the AMPI prices from Europe and the current futures prices, they're only returning about 20 pence, I would say. I would hope that for the majority of farmers in most markets here, there would be a premium, 3 or 4 pence premium, hopefully for some. So we're looking at the 24, 25 pence level for most farmers, I would say, based on the returns at the moment. For others, it will be less than that. And we know there are some on 22 now with beef prices much less than that. But generally speaking, I think we'll take the positives, the small positives that we've seen over the last week.
You were talking about the fluctuation in the spot price there in the spot market. What actions are processors taking at the moment to reduce their risk exposure to that?
There's been a big export deal or an export deal. I'm not quite sure how big it is to ship concentrate to Poland. So that's mopped up a bit of the milk. That's the good news on that front. The downside is that the price is pretty rubbish, and in a normal year you actually wouldn't do it. But because the food service markets have disappeared, it's an option, it's a market that has to be looked at and secured.
Chris, I think it'd be worthy to mention that I think the processor reduction scheme, particularly the one with Muller, does appear to have helped stabilise the market, because in terms of the spot market. And perhaps Chris can comment further, but I think what it demonstrates is that processors can take action with volume schemes and can have an impact on the market, because there's no doubt the scale of that reduction, and it did, we understand it's worked, has helped. And also, obviously, there's a lot of other disruptions in the market as well, which Paul will talk about in a minute, affecting milk flows. But I think certainly volume reduction is created quite an interesting aspect in terms of market management. Perhaps we'll have to think about again going forward.
John, can we stick with you for a minute and ask what the impact the lockdown is having on many of your clients? I mean, currently as Chris has been talking about, there's no indication of when many food, retail and service businesses might be able to get back to something like we used to know as normal service. And while that food service market is down, there will continue to be an impact on the uncertainty. What advice can you give to clients who are trying to weather a storm of uncertainty right now?
I think we internally, what we're trying to do is avoid what the politicians did with COVID-19 in January and February, and that is ignore it. And I think what we can see is that we haven't got a major problem on most farms at present with cash flow, remember. Muller's price went up this May, and Arla's price cut this week was pretty modest, relatively speaking. And people are still going to get paid for their April milk. So actually, in terms of cash flow, I think on farms, probably we haven't seen any pain yet in most businesses outside those that have been affected by distressed processes. But what we can anticipate and what we're planning for is that we expect cash flow issues to start to kick in as markets weaken through the summer and actually cash flows start to deteriorate. And we can anticipate that cash flows will start to be a problem probably in August, September. And what we're advising our clients to do is to certainly get on and plan well ahead, because with banks at present, you've got to give them plenty of notice if you're wanting bank support or you're wanting to go the civil support that we talked about with Neil Wilson last week. I think that's the key message I'd want to get out today.
Thanks, John. Now, I want to bring in Paul now and look ahead in terms of milk supply and demand. Now, clearly, as we've just been talking about, there's still lots of questions when it comes to the demand side. Can you take us through some of the possible patterns of milk supply over the coming months, given the number of pressures at the moment from COVID to the dry weather, and how processors might try to impact that supply?
Sure, thank you, Will. I just thought to start this one off by saying that actually peak milk last year was on the 23rd of April, which was yesterday. We are getting into the realms of being very close to processing being under its peak strain, as it were. Obviously, every season is different, and this one has not failed to keep going with that. So I'm not expecting to see the peak until slightly later. Last year was an exception, and over the last 5 years, we've seen peak milk day range from, the 23rd of April last year, right back to as late as the 20th of May in 2017. So I sort of look at weather trends and how they've, you know, trying to find similar years to this year. And if we go back to 2017, that was a year when we had a very dry March and April. So obviously early March was wet here, but from sort of mid-March onwards, and certainly through April, we've seen a very similar trend in terms of rainfall patterns to 2017. So I'm going to sort of put my head on the block and say that we're probably likely to hit peak milk somewhere between the 5th and the 10th of May. And in terms of the size of that peak, we have data up until the 11th of April so far. And at that stage, we were running 2.3% below 2019. But that was prior to Muller's milk reduction scheme being affected. And as John's already said, we anecdotally, we believe that that's been pretty successful and the uptake has been good. So that is actually going to put a little bit of a dint in our normal curve, if you like. As we reach the peak of the curve, then the speed of the acceleration of week-on-week output becomes less and less as a percentage. So I'm probably looking at a peak of somewhere between 1 million and 1.5 million litres below where it was last year. So somewhere between 36.5 and 37 million litres per day peak. That's the situation in mainland UK. It's slightly different over in Northern Ireland, where they're having a very good season. And clearly, their market has been disrupted in terms of being able to get product south of the border. So anything that's that can't be processed actually in Northern Ireland is likely to find its way over to our market here. So that's something that we can't ignore.
One of the things I was just going to come in on, Paul, and I know working with you, I'm quite interested in what your views are. You've got the peak date, which is great. You've got a forecast of what the likely peak might be, which is you're putting your head on the block. Well done. But I'm just wondering what your view is going to be after peak. And we might go after that. What do you think?
Well, we're in a very very weather related phase of the season just at the moment. If we don't get any rain, then we can potentially find ourselves in a 2018 scenario, in that people are going to have to be looking at supplementing feed to keep cows alive and producing. I think the fundamental difference between now and 2018 is what we've got, the situation with the feed price and the milk price feed price ratio. Because in 2018, the peak feed price was around about £250 a ton in July and August, but milk prices were 29 to 30p at that stage. So the milk price feed price ratio was still in a place where people could justify putting that feed into animals. If we're looking at potentially at milk price feed price ratios going into sub 1-to-1 territory, which with feed prices going 260 plus as we run through the summer, is distinctly possible, then we're in a very, very different situation as far as the economics are concerned. And rather than seeing cows extremely well fed and milk production increasing as it did in 2018, we could find ourselves much more in a subsistence type of situation where it's really maintenance of cows and keeping them going until the next lactation.
That's quite serious, isn't it? Because I'm interested what Chris's view would be. So we're running through the past the peak at about 4 or 5% below last year, and then we hit a drought and we've got a very poor milk price feed price ratio. We could be going into the autumn, well over 5% below last year. And I know that's a concern with some milk processors, Chris. So how do you think the market's going to view that?
Well, even if you put that aside, some of the processors are talking about just the next 6 weeks. From a European point of view, we've got to get through the next 6 weeks and then it will be better. So even if you discount for the time being the 5-6% element or 5% element you're talking about, it is going to make a significant difference to the sentiment and morale of the market, particularly if it's twinned with taking product off the market through the Brussels scheme, because you'll have a double whammy of significantly reduced milk flows and product off the market.
So in actual fact, listening to what you're saying there, Chris, it's quite interesting, isn't it? That and this drought potentially is building up across Europe, as far as I understand, then those problems might be actually a solution to the current market crisis that we're looking into in the next 6 weeks then.
I think it will help.
Yeah.
Will help for sure.
I don't think we should get massively carried away with the drought story just at the moment. The mid-range weather forecast for early to mid-May is for a more unsettled spell to come through. If that were the case, then we would see grass growth pushing on again, good cuts, good crops of first cut silage. Let's keep the balance here. I think the point to make is that the weather will be absolutely critical over the next 6 weeks as to how this pans out through the autumn.
Yeah, as someone who's trying to get maize in the ground at the moment, I can, like a lot of people listening, I can assure you that we're absolutely desperate for rain here.
Yeah.
Which is crazy considering where we were 2 months ago, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, the weather's going to have a big impact on the supply then over the coming weeks, I guess, is what we can draw from that. Just before we go, I do just want to bring in Chris again. There's been an announcement this week from the EU on market measures. Perhaps you could just comment on that for us, please.
Okay, well, what's been happening is that organisations across Europe have been pressing the EU to bring in what's called private storage aid. And interestingly, that the National Farmers Union over here have also been pressing the UK government to do that. And that'll be the National Farmers Union, which represents farmers, 6% of which, of course, voted for Brexit and couldn't wait to leave the European Union. But at the first sign of stormy weather, they can't wait to get back in the bunker. But that aside, what does this actually mean? Well, for UK processors, probably not a lot. In previous years, when they've done private storage aid, the payments have been much better than they are now. And the amounts that the processors will get aren't that great. I've been told, for instance, and I haven't worked the maths out myself, that if a cheesemaker puts a ton of cheese in for 3 months, they might get 50 quid or so. Well, it'll help, but I can't see much UK cheese going in there. Nor can I see much butter or powder being stored from the UK, because the amount that they're going to get probably isn't worth the hassle of doing it. However, it is a useful tool. The Europeans tend to like these schemes more than we do over here, so time will tell what effect it will have in shoring up the market. Nevertheless, it's another tool that can be used, and I hope it will do some good. What it won't do is help any of the farmers who are currently drowning through terrible bee prices and withheld payments. It won't do anything for them at all. But hopefully in time it will support the market. Okay. And well done, the European Union.
That's been a great discussion, then, but that's all we have time for this week. So we do want to say a big thank you to John, Chris and Paul for coming on the show and giving us your thoughts.
Yes, thanks to everyone here, and thank you for listening to this second episode of the Kite Podcast 2020. Please join us next week when we'll once again bring you the latest commentary on the developing dairy market situation. And we've just had the dog barking.
The dog's had the last word.
Sorry, that's me. I beg your pardon.
I'm leaving that in.